Food Friday, and this week Meathead is back with us to talk about steak. Maybe you've settled on cooking steaks this weekend. You've got the grill out. What kind, what cut do you go with? Ribeye, sirloin, tenderloin, flank, skirt? There's a lot to choose from. It can be confusing, but with some advice, we can get the best possible results out of it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for our guest about how to pick out and cook some steak on the grill? Do you have a go-to cut that you really enjoy? Do you have a magical secret to share? Won't be a secret anymore, but you can still share it. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Meathead Goldwyn is the founder of AmazingRibs.com, author of the book Meathead, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling. He's also the latest inductee to the Barbecue Hall of Fame. Meathead, good to have you back.
Oh, always good talking to you, Rob.
Before
is it going to be steak on Sunday for Dad's Day for you?
I know. Other people are going to make food for me, and I'm the only one who grills here. So the grill will not be fired up without my participation. Meathead, before we get to those steaks, I want to congratulate you. You're actually officially inducted later this year.
Yeah, it's quite an honor. There are only 26 living members of the Barbecue Hall of Fame, and I am going in with a pretty august class. Ollie Gates from Gates Barbecue in Kansas City, and Arthur Bryant, also in Kansas City. The two pillars of great barbecue in Kansas City are going in with me. And Rodney Scott, the pillar of Charleston barbecue. So it's quite an honor. I'm quite thrilled.
Well, fantastic. Well, let's get some of that Hall of Fame style advice from you now, Meathead. Now, first of all, I'll eat steak. I'm a little intimidated by picking it because I don't know which cut should I get. If I buy the good stuff, am I going to murder it on the grill? Could you first sort out when we're at the meat counter or the butcher or whatever, what we're looking at, what we want to pick out, especially for that super fancy steak if we're really looking to splurge this week?
Well, as with any cooking, indoors, outdoors, any ingredient, it starts with quality. You need to buy a quality piece of meat. You can't make a bad steak into a good steak. You can make a good steak into a bad one.
That's what I'm worried
about. But you need to start with a nice piece of meat. And I recommend you look for something labeled USDA Choice or USDA Prime. They're the two upper grades of steaks in the grocery store. Prime is a little hard to find. It used to only go to restaurants, but it's showing up now more and more in specialty butcher shops. It's going to be more expensive, but that's the grade that your great steakhouses are using. So if you want to cook Dad a steak that will compete with what's being cooked in the very tip-top steakhouses, you want to go for USDA Prime. The next thing you want to think about is thickness. The cooking technique for a thin steak is different than a cooking technique for a thick steak. We can talk more about that in a little bit, but you want to decide if you want to go for something 1 inch or under, or 1.5 to 2 inches if you can. The other thing is, what cut do you want? Flank steak, for example, is a really tasty cut, but it's a tough cut, and you've got to cook it exactly right, and you've got to slice it properly across the grain. But it's a beautiful steak, and it's relatively inexpensive. The more expensive steaks are the ribeyes, but that's what you're going to most likely get in most steakhouses. It comes from the muscle that runs right alongside the spine of the back of the animal. It's called the longissimus dorsi, and you have two of them. They start at your neck and run to your hip, and it's that big, long muscle. And they don't work very hard. They're very tender and juicy, and they have a lot of marbling. And the marbling is that little lacy fat that runs through the muscle, and that's a lot of flavor. The fat on the outside of the steak cannot penetrate. A steak is 75% water. Fat is oil. Oil and water don't mix. What's on the outside cannot get inside. It's what's inside that matters.
Now, again, if I'm looking to make that, I'm trying to get a restaurant quality grilling experience. I want to make sure I get the absolute best. On your website, you write and say, you know, go to a butcher and give them really precise instructions. Ask what they have. They don't mind if I do that. And I'm asking for a cut just to this thickness and I want this and this. That's all cool with them.
Yeah, well, you know, they are in the business of helping you have a great experience so you come back. You know, I like to say that knowing your butcher is just as good as knowing your stockbroker, maybe better. The head butcher in a grocery store is usually there in the morning when the trucks come in, so they get there fairly early usually, and then they go home fairly early in the afternoon. So don't show up at 5 o'clock and expect to see the head butcher. But if you tell them that you would like an inch and a half thick USDA prime or top choice. USDA choice is a good grade, but top choice is the more marbled. It's just this side of prime. They'll get it for you. Or, you know, you can order from most butchers. A lot of people don't know this, but if you know you want a special steak, like a prime steak, and your butcher or your grocer doesn't normally carry prime because it's expensive, go in there on a Monday if you're going to serve it on Friday or Sunday and say, can you order for me 2 inch and a half ribeyes USDA prime? Chances are they can.
Talking to Meathead Goldwyn, author of the book Meathead, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling, incoming member of the Barbecue Hall of Fame. It's Food Friday. He is helping us to choose and grill awesome steak. Let's go to a caller now at 800-642-1234. Lauren is with us in Franklin. Lauren, hi.
Hi there. So my question is about skirt steak. It is a cut of steak that, from what I understand, is very similar to flank steak, which you just mentioned. I'm a beginner griller, and I've had luck with this one, but I'm not having luck finding skirt steak. I have been on a never-ending quest to find it, and I cannot find it in any grocery store. And I'm wondering, what's the difference between, you know, skirt and flank? Can I substitute flank? Is there really much of a difference? I don't know what part of the cow it comes from, and yeah, where both would I find this?
Both of them come from the belly area, the underside of the animal, and skirt steak is skinnier than flank steak, and I'm shocked you can't find it because it is the core of a lot of Mexican cooking. So perhaps if you can't find it in your neighborhood grocery, maybe because there's not enough Latinos in your neighborhood, you might want to go to a grocery that caters to Mexicans, because you will certainly find skirt steaks there. It's a very thin, chewy steak, and it's very tricky to cook. The secret to a great steak, a great tasting steak, is a nice dark brown crust or an exterior, and you get that from high temperature. But the best ones are pink or red in the center. Medium rare is 130 to 135 degrees in the middle. And with a really skinny steak, it's really hard to do that. You can get a good dark crust, but by the time you've got it, it's overcooked in the center. So the trick to cooking skirt steak is give it all she's got, Scotty. Get as high a temp as you can and grill it really hot and fast. A thick steak, we'll talk about in a minute, but you want to cook a thick steak like a ribeye a little differently.
Thanks for that call, Lauren. Great question. Let's cook that thick steak now. And Meathead, you have sold me for many things that I grill on, you know, don't sear first and then cook. Cook low first and then sear. The reverse sear, I think, is what you converted me to. Is that what we want to do with our thick cut of good steak?
You see it coming, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, here's the theory. This is, and you know, a lot of books tell you sear first, whether you're cooking indoors or outdoors. Let's do a little physics here. It's useful to think of it as energy, not heat. When you put a piece of meat above flame or glowing coals, you're pounding the underside of that meat with energy, and it's going to cook the surface of that steak. But the energy itself doesn't penetrate the meat. It can't. remember, it's 75% water, and water is a great insulator. What happens is it builds up energy in the surface of the meat, and that's like a capacitor. And it stores that energy, and it slowly works its way down towards the center. So the outside of the meat cooks the inside of the meat, not the charcoal or the gas flame. So if you put meat right over hot flame, you're going to get a beautiful dark exterior. But then you're going to get a layer of brown just below the surface, then a layer of tan, then a layer of pink. And if you like it medium rare, which is 130 to 135, and that's where it's most tender and most juicy, it'll be about a half of the interior will be medium rare. But if you take it and you divide your grill in half, and this is called two-zone cooking, and it's the keystone of great grilling. And you have all the heat on one side. If you got a gas grill, you turn on the burners on one side and leave the burners on the other side off. And it's like if you walk outside on a hot sunny day, and the sun beats down on the back of your neck, it's hot. You step into the shade, it's the same hot sunny day, but you're a lot cooler. And that's because you've walked away from the direct ultraviolet energy. Well, a grill has infrared energy. It's a little different on the scale of radiation, but it's still radiation. And you're going to move from the direct infrared side to the side where the burner is off. Or if you've got charcoal, you're going to push all the charcoal to one side, and the other side, there's no charcoal. Over there, you're in the shade. And the steak will warm gently. And you do this for a thick steak, not for a skirt steak. The steak will warm gently, and it'll be even temperature top to bottom. It'll take longer, and when it's almost done, then you move it to the infrared side, that really radiant heat side, and you give it all she's got there. You lift the lid, and so you flip it. And again, this goes against everything you've been told. They tell you to put the steak down and don't flip it. Well, when you do that, the energy builds up, and it starts working its way to the center. But if you flip it, the energy that's stored in the surface will bleed off into the atmosphere. So now you're searing and building the crust, the bark, the outside. And what happens there is you're getting a chemical reaction. The energy is changing the structure of the protein and the amino acids and any of the reducing sugars in there. And it turns it dark brown. And that's flavor. So you treat the inside by cooking it on the indirect in the shade, and then you treat the outside at the end of the cook over direct infrared energy, and you've got the perfect steak.
We're picking up our Food Friday conversation with Meathead Goldwyn, founder of AmazingRibs.com and incoming member of the Barbecue Hall of Fame, about how to get the most out of any cut of steak on the grill. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Philip is with us in Neenah. Philip, hello.
Hi, I'm a big fan of trying cuts of steak not common to the U.S. One cut I like is picanha from Brazil. I was wondering if your guest had any recommendations for other popular cuts of steak outside of the U.S.
Boy, as soon as you said other cuts, the first thing that came to my mind was the picanha. What a great cut that is. And one of the secrets to the picanha, people, if you've ever eaten in a Brazilian steakhouse, you've seen this. It comes to you on that long sword, kind of curved in a C shape, and it's got a thick layer of fat on there. When you cut it, do you leave your fat on?
Yeah, I cut it with like a strip, so it's like mostly meat, but then the tip is like fat. It's great.
Right. It has some of the most tender and delicious fat. I know it may gross a lot of people out. Normally, you cut the fat off and discard most of it. But the picanha has a really succulent, buttery fat, and it's really quite good. There's a cut that comes from the shoulder called the flat iron. Very tender. It has a strip of gristle down the middle, which is inedible. But you work around that. That's a nice cut. It's about an inch to 3/4 inch thick. So you want to cook that hot and fast. And it's not a rare steak, but I got to put in a good word for flank steaks. I just love them. They're just so flavorful, and it's a much cheaper cut than ribeye. It comes from the belly. It's thicker than the the other belly cuts. But it cooks fairly quickly. You also want to cook that hot and fast, not the reverse sear I talked about. In fact, I have a fun technique. If you go to youtube.com/amazingribs and look at my video of cooking flank steak, I've got a couple of grapevines that grow on my backyard, and I take the cuttings and I let them dry out for a few months, and I cram them into my Weber kettle, light them, and you get like a 6-foot flame. It's really awesome. And they burn down to embers, but they cook. The embers are about 1,000 degrees. And boy, searing a steak over grape wood embers, it's just wonderful. And it cooks really fast, gets a great dark sear, tender and juicy. The trick to flank steak is you got to notice that the grain is running from one end to the other. You have to cut across the grain to make it tenderer to chew.
Thanks a lot for that call, Philip. Sounds like you have a project on your hand. Hope you have some grapevines handy. Let's go to Scott now in Windsor. Scott, hi.
Hi. I just want to put in a pitch for sous vide preparation of steaks and other meats for your grill. It's French for under glass or under vacuum.
Under vacum. It's called sous vide.
We've talked about this before. Remind us how that works, though.
Yeah, sous vide's a really wonderful concept. You know, if you put meat on a grill, the coals are putting out all this infrared energy, and it's really hot. You know, it's 700, 800 degrees. But if your target is 130 to 135, which is medium rare, where it is most tender and most juicy, to get there really easy, you slip it into a Ziploc bag, and you slide the bag into water so that the water pushes all the air out. You seal the bag, or you can use a vacuum sealer. And then you get this tube. It's like an old-fashioned flashlight. And it's a heater with a blower in it. And you stick it in a bucket of water, and you drop the steak in there. And you can set it digitally with your smartphone or buttons on the machine. And it goes right to 130, and it stays there. And your steak will cook up to 130. But it can't go to 131 because that's the temperature of the water. So you can't overcook. And it can hold like that for hours. So it's a great way if you've got a whole bunch of people coming over. You need to cook 12 steaks to exactly medium rare. You bag them into the sous vide machine, set it for 130, walk away for 4 or 5 hours. And then when they come, you take them out of the bag. Now, they're in the bag. They haven't been seared, so they're butt ugly. They're tan. And now you throw it on the grill as hot as you can get it or into a really hot cast iron pan, and you give it that dark Maillard reaction crust, and it's great technique. And I call it sous vide Q, and you can even move it to the smoker if you want. And I've got a whole article. In fact, I have an ebook on Amazon called Sous Vide Q Made Easy, and it describes the whole sous vide process and how to use the grill and the smoker, and the book's $3.99 on Amazon, for crying out loud. So it's a really fun technique, a little high tech, but the beauty is you know, you set it and forget it and walk away.
Scott, thanks for that call. Meathead, I want to take a minute to talk about salt on our steak when we're prepping it. How much do we have to use it? Do we need to use it? What do you think?
You know, salt is the magic rock. Salt is unlike any other herb and spice on your spice rack. It's a very simple molecule, sodium chloride, sodium and chloride, two little atoms. And when they get on the steak or whatever else you're cooking, they get wet and they get electrified, they ionized. They can actually move deep into meat or vegetables, whatever you're serving. They can move deep. Sugar, pepper, garlic, they're massive molecules. Your basic sugar molecule is 23 atoms. They cannot go past the surface. Now, I know a lot of you think, when I marinate it or when I put all these spice rubs and everything. No, they're a surface-only treatment. And you can prove this by cooking something like a pork loin or a turkey breast. soak it for a week in whatever marinade you want, throw it on the grill, and cut it in half and look in the center, and you will not see any change. In fact, I've done this with green dye. And the green dye, 16th to an eighth of an inch penetration, that's all. But salt. Salt does wonders. Salt gets deep in there, and it alters the shapes of the proteins. It's called denaturing the proteins. But it helps the protein hold on to moisture. So it's actually a moisture enhancer. The other thing that salt does is it amplifies the flavor. It turns it up to 11, and it doesn't alter the flavor. Garlic alters the flavor.
That's
pepper
a good place to leave it. Thanks to Meathead Goldwyn, member of the 2021 class of inductees into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. He joined us for Food Friday to talk about grilling with steak.